cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. And that's a reminder that to be a Christian is to have Jesus Christ enter into your life. And as Jesus comes in, because of who he is, that'll bring us great joy. And this passage shows us as well, it'll bring us great trouble. Now, of course, a normal baby brings something of that, doesn't it? Joy and trouble, as Matt and Charlie are going to find out in a few weeks' time. Very soon, they'll have no time left for themselves. They'll have no freedom to go to the toilet on their own. They'll have no clothes that are not dribbled on. But it'll bring great joy as well. But Jesus Christ was no normal baby. And so here in this passage is Joseph, this carpenter with his own plans about how life was supposed to go, happily getting on with things. And then Jesus turns up uninvited, unplanned for, and unlike any baby that's ever been born. And Joseph's heart is torn in two. His plans are torn in two. You know, his ideas about God are torn in two, and his comfortable, safe life is torn in two. And this is going to remind us of the place that Jesus needs to have in all of our lives too. Now, if you're not a Christian here, Jesus coming into your life is no small thing. And God's very honest with us about that. It'll bring a joy like nothing else you've ever come across. But it will bring trouble like nothing else you've ever come across as well. If we're a Christian, verse 24 is a great example to us, and Barbara helpfully prayed about that. Verse 24, Joseph did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Well, that's discipleship, isn't it? To respond to Jesus even when it causes you great trouble. That's discipleship. And I want to remind us today that December is for discipleship, just as much as every other month of the year. But so often, isn't this a time of the year where we don't particularly have that in mind, growing as disciples, so that our services have a sort of nice and warming feel, but it's not a place where I've come to work really hard, you know, to pray seriously. To expect God to actually change my life at this point in the year, because I'm so busy with other things. I'm stressed. I've been quite stressed this week, to be honest, in the early part of the week, and just absorbed by other things. And we have long lists of things that we need to get done, apparently, because that's, you know, really what it's all about. No, December is for discipleship of Jesus before it's about anything else. And Joseph's going to teach us a huge amount here. As we have this passage open, I want us to remember, number one, the joy the baby brings. The joy the baby brings. And there are two names that are given to him. Verse 21, can you see there? Give him the name Jesus. And then verse 23, they will call him Emmanuel. And if you're new to Christian things, those two names give us a pretty good summary of what it's all about. Who is Jesus and why did he come? Well, who is Jesus? He's Emmanuel, verse 23, which means, we're told, God with us. The Bible's not tricky, by the way. It explains itself for us. God with us. So who is Jesus? On the one hand, he's God, the God who made this world and has reigned in heaven for all eternity and is good and powerful and pure and all-knowing, perfectly holy. And this God, when all human hopes had failed, comes himself. And Jesus, as he grew up, acted like God, calming storms, raising the dead. And he spoke like God. I say to you, he would say again and again, he accepted worship like God, and he treated people like only God ever treated people, with divine love. So he's God. But on the other hand, Emmanuel, he's with us. He's man. He's come to live with us. to relate to us. So that God really did take on human flesh. And we need to remember this, that Jesus was a real human who could be tempted like us, could suffer, could get hungry, could cry his eyes out, could be scared, could be lonely, could be killed. And of course, he was born in such a real human way, in blood and goo. So Joseph, as he's told this name, Emmanuel, and I mean, I wonder if you can imagine him just putting his hand on Mary's tummy and feels the kicking. And he can say, "This is my God." This is how committed he is to us. This is how much he values human life, that he becomes one of us. This is how approachable and vulnerable and accessible God is making himself. A baby. There's a huge amount of emptiness and loneliness and dissatisfaction around Christmas, and it's complicated, but I want to suggest that at least a part of it is that it's a pointer to the deepest problem of human life, that we were made for God. You know, to have God with us. I'm not made for tinsel or turkey or toys, but for nothing smaller than the love and closeness of God himself. And the joy the baby brings, the joy the baby brought then, and the joy Jesus brings now, is to bring God himself back to be with us in our lives. Now, Joseph had that in the flesh. You know, there he is, he's holding the baby. But we have that by the Spirit. And Jesus says, do you remember his promise? "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In lonely moments, in dark nights, God with us. That's who Jesus is. I wonder if that stirs just a little joy for you this morning. Emmanuel. Second, why did he come? Well, verse 21. Why did he come? "Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, if you've got a Bible, please just flick back two pages, okay, to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verse 1. Verse 1. "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire." Verse 5. "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Now, those are the last words before Matthew that we've looking at over these weeks, okay? And actually, that page in between shouldn't be there. So if you want, you can pull it out of your Bible, but it might mean that the whole rest of the binding goes wrong. But it's not in the Bible, okay? It's a blank piece of paper. And so we go from Malachi 4 to Matthew. So, what are you expecting when you come in to Matthew chapter 1, the New Testament? The people have failed, as that long list of names we saw last week showed us. And they've gone into exile, and even though they've come back, they're no different. And so what do you expect? You expect God's burning judgment to fall on people. And total destruction, says Malachi. And that is what we deserve. It is what I deserve. It is what this world that is twisted, screwed up so often, that has rejected its good God, deserves. For God to come into the world as a judge and a warrior. And friends, he will. But first, he's born into the world as a baby. As a baby. And his name is not the Destroyer. but the Savior. Can you imagine how Joseph would have felt about that? He knows he's a sinner. He knows he comes from a family line of broken sinners. He knows what Malachi has taught. And so what joy to hear the name. Give him the name Jesus. Now, Joseph probably never saw what saving us from sin would mean for Jesus. The cross where he died. The darkness falling on Jesus. The cry as the burning judgment of God fell on Jesus so that it might never fall on us. I think if he did know that, imagine his hand again on Mary's tummy, or then holding that newborn baby. My God, what love is this that pays so dearly that I, the guilty one, may go free? Because you, my perfect God, would come and be born in blood to end up dying in blood for me. The joy the baby brings. The second, and this is, I think this is the focus of this chapter in many ways, the trouble the baby brings. Let's have a look at Joseph here. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, that's the Old Testament law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, a bit of background. To be pledged was stronger than an engagement today, okay? You were committed, and you would marry as soon as you got everything into place. And so you can picture Joseph there, and he's all geared up for this future. He's been down to IKEA, and he's had to drive a bit further because the local one wasn't made. But he's been down to IKEA to buy some new curtains and cushions. He's planned the wedding list, and he's got a friend booked to do the barbecue. He's up every evening working, putting in a new bathroom. And Mary comes over, and she tells him she's pregnant. I guess Joseph's world just fell apart in that moment. How could she do that? I loved her. But do I even know her now? And what kind of future can we have together? And what would all our families say? What would God say? By the way, I'm really sorry if this brings a particular bad memory, a painful memory for any of us. You see, the Bible is full of painful stories because it's full of real life stories. And Joseph's response here is so real, isn't it? He knows that virgins don't have babies. He's no fool, but he's a good bloke. And so he wants to protect her. So least worst option, a quiet divorce. But verse 20. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're new to the Bible, angels, what are they? They're messengers from God who turn up really just at miraculous and massive moments, like Jesus' birth and Jesus' resurrection, to explain what no one could have made sense of and no one could have come up with. And the angel says here, Joseph, she hasn't been unfaithful. She hasn't had sex with anyone. Something unique has happened. And that's why it makes no sense to you. It's unique. The baby has been put here by God. God the Holy Spirit. She's still a virgin, Joseph, but with child. Which, verse 22, God had promised in the Old Testament 700 years before to the prophet Isaiah, a virgin will be with child. So this child is not planned by you, Joseph, but he is planned by God. And this child is not fathered by any human, but he is fathered by God. And you need to take him into your home and into your life and give him the name Jesus. Now the key instruction there, I think, is verse 20, Do not be afraid. Because what a scary thing. I mean, it'd be much easier for Joseph just to walk off and leave this mess as part of his, you know, that was a sad moment. Let's walk away. To have nothing to do with this baby. But to publicly love and stand with Jesus would bring a whole heap of trouble into his life. Now think of the mockery. Think of the mockery as his, you know, his mates are down the pub, but they're all going to assume, Joseph, either it was you, or, you know, Mary's been sleeping around with someone else. And as he tries to explain, it's all right, lads, you know, it's because she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And look at this bit in the Bible. Let me explain it to you. Oh. They're going to think he's a complete muppet, aren't they? And of course, many of our friends will view us that way this Christmas as we try to explain Jesus to them. The mockery, the shame. From birth and more as he grows up, Jesus is insulted and eventually crucified, and people still use his name as a swear word today, don't they? And Joseph is to say, hey, we're family. I stand with him. Don't say that about him. And again, for Christians, Hebrews 13 tells us, let us then go to Jesus and share his shame. Now, just as we share Jesus' name, we're Christians. We share his shame. And again, I need the instruction. Do not be afraid. And then there's danger. There's danger for Joseph. I guess, you know, perhaps from his own family. Certainly from Herod later on. And today around the world, many Christians face danger for their lives, especially at this Christmas time. And they need to hear, do not be afraid. And then there's disruption. Now, many people come to God and they say, yes, I'd like Jesus to come into my life so that he can fit in with me and my view of the world, and so long as he helps me fulfill my own plans and dreams. I want happiness. I want this partner. I want this and I want this. So I'm inviting Jesus in to sort of help me out with that. That is not how Jesus enters someone's life. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. So if he comes into our lives, he's going to come on his terms and not on ours. And he's Jesus. He's come on a mission to save people from their sins for all eternity. And so he is not just come to fit in with our tiny little dreams and hopes. He's going to come in, like with Joseph, like a train steaming through all of our plans and sometimes knocking them completely out of the way. Or like an elephant moving into your house. There is always huge disruption to everything when Jesus comes in. You know, how Joseph, you got, has suddenly been thrown. What he thought mattered most, knocked over. And who's in control? And if I just wandered over to Matt and Charlie and I said, by the way, guys, you've got to call your baby Barnaby. Matt or Charlie is going to say, A, that's a dog's name. B, you don't get to make that decision because it's our baby and we're in control, right? In those days, the father had a special right to give the name, and that name spoke of what the child would grow up to be. And so, verse 21, can you see what's happening? Verse 21, God tells Joseph, give him the name Jesus. I've planned his future. I'm giving him the name, and he will grow up, in fact, to be king over you, and he'll save you, Joseph. And Joseph is losing all the control from his life as Jesus enters, even from the smallest size, Jesus. His life has been taken over. Disruption. Now remember, December is for discipleship. On Monday evening last week, we had Julian Ribeira come to join us, and he gave us three really good discipleship questions. And the questions are, what has God said to you? question one. What are you going to do about it? Question two. And then when? Question three. I thought they were really helpful, and I thought we could just use those as we close our time together. Let's use those questions. So the first question there is, what has God said to you from this passage? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's one of those headings that we thought about. Maybe it's something else in the passage. Just cast your eyes over that passage. What is God saying to you? Now, I'm not asking what do you wish God would say to you, but which part here is just prodding you and perhaps troubling you? If you can't think of anything, well, we've just read the Bible. God must be saying something. So is there a part there that God is underlining for you? Second question, what are you going to do about it? God has spoken, so what? What might change in your thoughts, your prayers, your plans, your actions? And then the really challenging question, when? Because December is for discipleship. No, we're not going to leave it 3 weeks. Perhaps there's something very costly for us. It was costly for Joseph, wasn't it? Perhaps there's an unhelpful relationship that we're in, or there's a habit we have, or there's a hobby that we know is stopping us from really being a committed disciple of Jesus. And like Joseph, verse 24, did what the Lord commanded him. We need to make a costly decision. Maybe you just need to pray today. Lord, please save me. Now, Jesus, you've come to save people from their sins. Save me from this pattern of sin. So maybe there's something costly. The second, maybe there's someone who just needs to become a Christian today. You know a bit about Jesus now, just like Joseph did. He knows a bit. He doesn't know everything, does he? And like him, you have a choice in front of you. Will you walk away from Jesus because it's just a whole lot easier? Or will you welcome Jesus into your life and give over control and allow Jesus to bring a whole load of trouble into your life, but also bring great joy? Joseph did what God called him to do. Well, what will you do? Third, maybe there's an issue of courage. I want to spend a bit longer on this. Perhaps God is prompting you to be more public in standing with Jesus, like Joseph had to be. Had to be public, didn't he? Maybe no one at work knows, really. Maybe no one on your street knows. Maybe it's just been a very, very long time since you've talked to any family members about Jesus, and you haven't been praying about it because you don't really want God to answer that prayer and actually give you an opportunity over Christmas because you think it'll kind of mess up things and, you know. Maybe every time the service leader suggests something like inviting people to carols, you put your head down and you go, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. Now, like Joseph, we're all afraid. God knows that. He knows it. And he knows that we're all made differently, and therefore there are different parts of standing publicly with Jesus that scare us more. But all of us do need in some way to take the mockery, the shame, the danger, and the disruption, because Jesus is in our lives, isn't he? So maybe for some of us, actually, we haven't done that. We haven't publicly taken any of that, really, for years and years. And the more we keep quiet and we let ourselves off the hook, the more the fear grows within us. That's how fear works. And what God is calling you to do is, as he says, do not be afraid, is to just push against that fear in one small way this week. It could be, of course, to join the door-to-door team like Sarah did. Knock, knock, hello, I'm just here from the church. I'd like to invite you to a carol service. It could be to take a bunch of flyers for your street. It could be to just put one flyer quietly through one person's door without even knocking. It could be to pray, Lord, would you help me with my fears? And the truth is, you haven't wanted to pray that because you haven't really wanted God to help you with those fears, because that might lead somewhere that you don't really want it to go. And today it's just a quiet prayer. Lord, help me with my fears. Could be a verse in a Christmas card. It could be a prayer at the Christmas table. I can't tell you what, actually, okay? That's not my job. But if God is prodding you and saying, this is something you need to do, like Joseph, to stand a bit more publicly with Jesus, then we need to do something. The trouble the baby brings. That may have felt a little heavy. I just want to encourage us as we close. If you've followed Jesus for many, many years, the truth is that actually he has caused a lot of trouble in your life over those years, and you've embraced it, and you've known the joy of that. And there are so many things now that are just almost natural for you. You've done a Joseph over the years. Jesus is with us. Let me just pray, and then we're going to sing to close. Heavenly Father, thank you that because Jesus is a real person in our lives, that makes a huge difference. And some areas are costly. And where you've put your finger on something by the Holy Spirit today, would you help us to not be afraid, but to be like Joseph? In Jesus' name.